the department, and a special welcome to the minister, Comrade Fellow Shiteka. Welcome, sir, for joining us today. The meeting today is convened to talk about the in our discussions with the department earlier on this year, and the department then led by the deputy minister, we raised concerns about what appeared to be a gap in what was likely to happen with the Property Rights Act and its implementation, and some municipalities not being able to meet their requirements according to the law. And as a result of that concern which the committee raised, the department undertook to do work around this issue. And today, in a sense, is the result of that interaction between ourselves. And so it's appropriate that the minister is here. And then the minister was not able to join us. He was meant to have joined us to introduce his staff, his team, and so on. So this year, he's a fresher to the committee. So we would like to give him a special welcome as a fresher to this committee today. I want him that we are not letting him go without talking to us today. So he will introduce the bill, but in addition to that, he'll say a few words about the work that he is doing currently, both in the department and perhaps also outside as he interacts with other departments, provincial departments and municipalities. So, Minister, with those few words, please join us. Join me in front here, and so that you talk. I don't know why you allowed Jess to deploy you in the back bench. He belongs to the back bench, not you. Thanks. Please go ahead, then.
Thank you very much, Ndade, Chairperson. Well, we must say that as a department, we appreciate the fact that we're given this opportunity of coming to stand in front of you, although standing sitting, you know, in front of you. What we can promise here, what we want to be defined on, is that we want to have a situation where when budgets are presented to Parliament, they must be led politically. There must not be a situation where budgets are presented and they are led administratively. Also, when bills are presented, they must be led politically. Means first, when introduce the bills. As much as when annual reports are presented, that must be, they must be led politically. It means there is a bottom line that in those three activities, myself or the deputy must be able to lead the delegation. We believe that Parliament is a very important institution. If ministers can't account in Parliament, where can they account? Because Parliament is where you get your money approved. Without you getting Parliament approving your budget, you can't operate. Equally, it's where you are able to ensure that the laws that makes you to operate are passed. Therefore, you're talking about a very important institution. From our point of view, we want to ensure then that Parliament is given and accorded the status it deserves, in a way. And that's what we would want to see, Chairperson. I must say that let me introduce the team that we have so that at least we know who's here from, or allow them to introduce themselves, starting with the TG. The team that is knows that he works with me. Nomzilikazi lapha akwazi ukuthi introduce bonke siqala ku DG. Baba.
No, thank you, Minister. I was just trying to see who else is here before I leave our people. Good morning, honorable members. My name is Elder Africa. I'm the acting director general. I'll allow the colleagues to introduce themselves. Thank you.
Good morning, honorable members. I'm Nomzilikazi Manyike, an executive manager responsible for intergovernmental fiscal relations in the department. Thanks.
Morning, honorable members. My name is Veronica Mafoko. I'm a senior manager responsible for municipal finance policy in the department.
Morning, honorable members. My name is Fani Lowe, legal services from the department.
Morning, Jez Mukwena from the office of the minister. Thank you.
Sabi Mashile, minister.
Thank you very much. I think you can say that is a full compliment, the delegation. If you can say, let's go and vote, we might outvote you. thank you very much. Those are the principles that I think the relationship must define, the way we must define our relationship. That there are certain bottom lines that we believe that must be followed, that we must ensure that the way we work going forward. Chairperson would say that we have been having a discussion with yourselves through me or through the parliamentarized office of JES about the strategic plan of the department. We are hoping that we are going to be finalizing that by this week. It means next week onwards we can be able to present a strategic plan of the department. The strategic plan is what is going to guide our work for the next 5 years, for the next 4 years, guiding our work going forward, so that it's a framework within which we operate, so that we are able to hold us accountable and responsible based on that strategic plan. There are critical things that are quite important, Chair, in terms of our work. One amongst those is to define the cooperative governance. What does this animal mean? And how does it relate to others? Because we believe that that is a very important function where you ensure that government works in a coordinated way. You are able to get the maximum benefit because you utilize your resources in a way that ensures that it is coordinated, is coherent and seamless. And we hope that in this journey we'll be able to be working with yourselves in that. The other critical thing is around the establishment of the Department of Traditional Affairs. That must be standing on its own. That is going to bring dignity back to the traditional leaders of this country in terms of the way they do. We are in the process of engaging with that to ensure that we go forward. And equally, in the department, we are involved in a way of ensuring that the new mandate that has been given to us is executed. We hope that we are going to be, we'll be briefing you from time to time in as far as what we are doing. We have had an issue around the state of municipalities report. You would recall that in terms of Section 46 of Systems Act, it requires that the MECs must be able to ensure that they get the state of municipalities in their own jurisdiction and be able to report to Parliament and report to the department nationally. We report to us, then we report to yourselves once we conduct that. The approach that has been taken has been an approach where we get reports from the people, from the officials and in provinces. We've taken a different route. A route that says we are not going to wait for reports. Officials must move off the air-conditioned offices to go and experience the sun on the ground, at the same time to go and experience what people are feeling on the ground, not to hear reports. Because in some cases, reports are not accurate. People tell you the good stories that you must hear. And you find that yourself, you are told the stories, you write about them, you tell cabinet, they come tell the nation. And I must tell you, Chair, that without any fear of contradiction, that situation has been obtaining. It's something that we are getting on top of it. So that when you present a report, we know that it is accurate. The State of Municipalities report, then, we are gathering that information. The first province has presented its report, which is the Northern Cape. They approved in their cabinet the State of Municipalities report on Wednesday. Others will be presenting. The last one that will be presenting in terms of our program will be the Western Cape. It will be presenting that report by the end of September. From there, we'll consolidate the report and be able to say this is a picture of municipalities in South Africa. Now, having said that, we then from there will allow a process of government of engaging. We're hoping that we're going to have a national summit. We call it Indaba, a national Indaba, where we want to discuss the issues of the state of local government in South Africa so that we're able to ensure that there are values that govern what we do. The first thing, we must have values, a value system, which we hope that we are going to be engaging. We hope that these values must cut across different parties. It must not be a party thing. Local government must never be politicized. We must rise above petty politics and focus on service delivery to our people, ensure that we improve the quality of their lives. In fact, we hope that the polarization that is prevailing in South Africa is going to be actually turned around. That South Africa, they spend most of their time fighting against something. We want them now to spend their time focusing on fighting for something, the whole nation. It means it must not matter whether the municipality is under a DA, is under the ANC, is under the IFT, even Baba and Baba Boda. At least in South Africa, you have managed to win a ward. At least in Gauteng for the first time. Ward 12. Then you are driven by this
value. Comrade Rosie, don't home. The minister is unrealistic about your
So that you are driven by these values. We hope that we'll begin to have some draft. We want to engage different parties even here in Parliament. What are the value systems that must drive us? The head of deputy minister, Madam Mwenga there, she must be part of it. That's the head of deputy minister. Yeah. Now, I'm saying then going forward, we hope that everybody must rally up behind this so that the issues that must drive us must be common to everybody, irrespective. That's what we want to do then, Chair. In this process, we hope that by the end of the year, in South Africa, we'll be having a turnaround strategy for municipalities. That is agreed upon. There's sufficient consensus. There might not be total consensus. That must be able to drive us. Early next year, we want to take these, because that will be a national framework of a strategy. We want to take it to a local level to say, every municipality, let's present a draft turnaround strategy for municipalities. That turnaround must be something that is owned by the people of that area in different sectors and also different formations that are there to be able to say this is how we want to see our municipality being governed. And equally, we must want to create a situation where the people of that area who are organized, they are in a structure that must monitor the implementation of the turnaround going forward. It means in that then, we want to ensure that everyone owns this thing. We feel that the marginalizations of South Africans in the issue of governance must come to an end. Everyone must come and participate, including the Afrikaner that feels that affirmative action displaced them. We're saying they must come forward. People must contribute in their own areas. What we require then from yourself, Chairperson, as Parliament, is that there are about three things that we think we must come to the fore. The first one is to agree on these value systems. The second one is an issue of the amendment of whether the Constitution or the law. But we are clear that the Constitution has to be amended. One of the most fundamental things where it is to be amended is a separation of powers between the executive and administration. I mean, the executive and the legislature. In a situation where you have local government, everything is in one place. Even in the private sector, there's what is called cooperative governance, corporate governance, meaning that you have a board that can monitor the administration and ensure that it does this in a particular way. Now, everything is one here, which is a problem. We believe that things are going to come out as we implement things. Linked to that, there are laws that are there. One of the major things that we think was something that had to be reviewed is the appointment of Section 57 managers. We think amongst other things that has to be looked at is that everybody who is employed at that level must be part of an institution, a professional body. If you are a finance person, at least you must join Info. Even if you are not part of the accountant's body, the SICA, if you are Info, at least, you know, there's a finance officer's, a municipal finance officer's body. We think that even people who are engineers, they must be able to be part of the body, so that if there are things that are wrong, the body can act against its member in terms of issues of corporate governance if they are violated. Like in the law, in lawyer, you know that a lawyer, if a lawyer has done things that are unethical, the law society acts against that individual. Now we must professionalize government. And at the same time, we are concerned about the way people are being dismissed willy-nilly. Section 57, suspend. If I don't agree with you on something, I go to the council. I mobilize and we pass a vote of no confidence or we say no, let's suspend you. And we act. We think that there must be a situation where a person who is not in the scene, who is not involved, must be able to say whether this thing that is being done for suspension or dismissal is right or wrong. You see? So that we can protect people who are employed, people who don't use their power in a way that is not correct. Now, we would want then yourself to assist in grappling with those things to be able to find solutions going forward. The last thing is you telling us about the weaknesses, challenges that are there in municipalities. We don't want to hide anything. If you hear anything, you must tell us, must be able to act and ensure that things happen. Now, in that respect, we believe that you must actually ensure that you fold your sleeves. You are able to ensure that Nyabugula, you see, Jefferson, and get your hands being there on the ground in these things. Because we believe that the department on its own can't solve everything. The fallacy. We can only do things if we work together as a collective. And in that, then, we expect then that the members of this committee and the members of parliament broadly will assist in that. That's what we would say then on these issues. I think other things we'll elaborate with them when we come back. Let me come back to the subject matter at hand today. We are presenting this bill on the Municipal Property Rates Amendment Bill. We are going to be coming back, of course, the NCOP will be coming to present on the traditional leaders governance framework. Bill that has been discussed by the NCOP as we speak, and also the issue of the National House, the houses, will be presented by the NCOP dealing with that. From our side, we'll be coming probably with the Systems Act. We have lost a case in KwaZulu-Natal. It was lost by the KwaZulu-Natal government on the issue of regulations. The department was trying, came with regulations nationally, with an intention of saying that at least there must be basic minimum qualifications for you to occupy certain positions. That KwaZulu-Natal implemented that with enthusiasm, because as a guy who was employed by a municipality under the control of the ISP, who had a standard 8, employed as a municipal manager. Then the MEC intervened in that, taken to court, he lost the case, the MEC. Now, we want to strengthen those witnesses to ensure that these things are dealt with, they're addressed. going forward, so that we are able to ensure that things, our intention of the lawmaker is there in regulations. But it seems that we can't deal with the regulations without tampering with the Systems Act, with the actual Act. That's why we must be able to deal with that as a speedy thing, so that we are able to handle things. It's more of a requirement also of what has happened in the court. Those are the things that we think will be coming with them, except things that will come as we go forward, which will be dealing with that from the local government, across the state of municipalities report in the turnaround. Coming back to this issue, Chairperson, we are coming here kneeling down to request you to agree with us that we amend this law. The reason for the amendment is that about 17 municipalities in South Africa have not managed to implement the new act. As a consequence of that, it means they won't have a revenue that they collect from the rates and taxes in terms of this act. And therefore, we are saying let's amend that so that we can allow these 17 municipalities to extend the period within which they must address this issue, the internal structures, for a period of 2 years. And we want to commit ourselves to say that we are going to be intervening in assisting the municipalities to be compliant in relation to ensuring that this thing happens, this 2 years. The question then becomes, what happens in the interim? If you are saying give them 2 years, what happens in the interim? We are saying that they must use the old legislation to be able to collect revenue as a transitional mechanism, transitional measure. And I must tell you that these municipalities are going to lose over 400 million if this defect is not addressed. If you look at the two of them, Machabeng in the Free State, the chairperson knows this is his hometown area there, home province. And also Pulukwane, the famous Pulukwane in Limpopo. Both of them, they take over two-thirds of the money that is being owed. It's about 336,162,000 rand out of 400 million, over 400 million. Now, it means then they lose a lot of revenue. And you know that municipalities are depressed, they're stressed. They have been owed over 53 billion in South Africa. You can't afford any cent that they lose. They must be able to address that. That's what we are coming to present here. The other thing that we were trying to present, which Cabinet did not agree with us, was an issue of the valuation system and the fees that are paid to valuers, particularly in KwaZulu-Natal. In KwaZulu-Natal, they can't attract valuers because of the rates. They are saying the rates are too low, therefore they are not participating. Now, we're requesting to allow flexibility of provinces to be able to determine the fees. Cabinet felt that, no, that's not correct. We must have a national uniform system. Let's find ways of dealing with that of KwaZulu-Natal. That was a discussion between ourselves and Treasury. We'll deal with that. I want to conclude, Chair, because my task is to talk about broader politics. Officials, they present it. I want to conclude by saying we are going to come back on all these laws to do a comprehensive review of the laws, including this one. I think next year. Because we feel that laws must be responsive to the challenges of the time. The law must be alive, must be organic. They must be able to ensure that people they are appreciated by the people. Even this property rates act that we're presenting will come comprehensively. But for now, we're addressing the issues that I've talked about. I must tell you that the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform is very interested. In fact, they made extensive submissions in relation to those matters. And everyone is interested, including the farmers. I was in the Free State. The farmers, they are quite interesting. Africans and the state, they are very much interesting that we engage on this. The traditional leaders, they are very interested in this because they feel that this is something. We are going to be engaging on these laws. You will really pardon us that we have to respond on this now and ensure that we deal with the things. That's the broader task, Chair, that drives us, that makes us to be here, and we are requesting that you agree us on the bill and so on going forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Comrade Minister. Members, before we move to the presentation, how much time do you have? If I may ask.
I'm up until, a lot of time, up until 12. I think my next meeting is 12, yeah.
Okay. So, in other words, let's take the presentation, and then we can ask members to ask questions to the minister later. Is that okay, members? See, I'm being democratic, right? I'm asking you. Okay. Let's proceed then with the presentation so that the minister can participate in the discussion that will ensue from here. All right. It's your turn.
Thank you, Chair. One of the benefits sometimes of being an acting DG is to delegate. So I'm going to ask Veronica Mafoko. I know, that's what I said sometimes.
Okay.
I'm going to ask Ms. Veronica Mafoko to give the presentation, Chair.
All right,
Minister.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thanks, Aaron.
I didn't want to comment on the gender composition of your big delegation. I still won't comment.
Thank you, Elroy. Thank you, Chief. Thank you, Minister. Members, I'm going to just run through the presentation. It's not long, fortunately. It's going to be quite quick. The Minister touched on the key strategic issues. I'm going to just go into a little bit of detail. I'll do a little bit of background. I'll tell you what the bill says. The third thing that I'm going to do is deal with consultations, who we consulted, how that went. We published the bill for public comments at a certain stage ourselves as a department, and I'm going to give you a little bit of an overview of the comments that we received and how we dealt with them, and then I'm going to conclude. The bill was approved on the 12th of August by Cabinet. It seeks to amend the Act to extend the period of validity of valuation rules that were enforced before this Act commenced. We want to extend them by a further 2 years, as the Minister indicated. The Minister also indicated about the municipalities that have failed. I'm not going to go into too much detail about that. He did mention that there's 400 million rand at stake there. In terms of contents, we would like to amend Section 89 of the Act to extend that period until the 30th of June of 2011. That's the substance of the bill. We consulted the National Treasury, the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, as the Minister has indicated. The provincial departments responsible for local government were extensively involved in this process, and they supported. SALGA was also extensively consulted in this, and they support the bill as well. We received comments from seven interested parties only. We actually thought that we would get more. We only received seven. They were as listed: Cape Town Metro, Matabeng Municipality, which is also affected here, Magana Local Municipality in the Eastern Cape, the Gauteng Department of Local Government and Housing, IMFO, the Institute for Municipal Finance Officers, the Transvaal Agricultural Union. It shows that agriculture is interested in this process, and an individual called Mr. Ditoy. Machabeng, Magana, the Department of Local Government and Housing in Gauteng, and IMFO were supportive of the bill. They supported it 100%. The Cape Metro noted the bill. They didn't offer any comments. The Transvaal Agricultural Union didn't support the bill. Their position is that amending the Act doesn't address the fundamental causes of the inability of municipalities in general to comply with provisions of this Act. They believe that municipalities had a lot of time within which to comply with this Act. They had from 2005 to 2009. Those are the number of years that they had. our position, as the minister indicated, is that we feel that we need to go ahead with this intervention. We feel that it's important. We feel that it's quite strategic. We feel that the finances of these municipalities are at stake, and consequently also service delivery to residents and communities living in these municipalities. So we cannot support not implementing this this piece of legislation. If we fail to do so, then communities will suffer from a service delivery perspective, we feel. Mr. Ditoy also did not support the bill for reasons similar to the Agricultural Union. He basically feels that we are allowing negligence on the part of municipalities to continue, their failure to continue to not act according to the law, which led them to fail. He did propose an alternative to what we're doing. He came with solutions that we continue to allow municipalities to implement rating through old order legislation, which the minister mentioned, but that there be a 50% rebate that we impose on all municipalities that may rate. Obviously, we cannot go with this because at this stage, the law doesn't allow us to do that, firstly. We cannot tell municipalities what kind of rebate they may have for any category of property in terms of this act. However, what we are doing is allowing municipalities to continue to implement rating through old order legislation. That, in a nutshell, is are the comments. And we do, as the minister indicated to you, we are here at your behest. We are requesting that you consider this bill. It's a very small, short bill, and we would like you to consider us amending the Property Rates Act in this manner. Thank you, Chair. I'd like to also mention that once we go into detail, depending on what kind of detail you'd like to go into, we do have our legal resource, Mr. Fani Lo over there, who, if need be, can take you through the bill line by line, which is not a lot. We also have colleagues from the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor who are here to also support us. They have obviously certified the bill, hence it is here with us. Thank you.
Members, there's the bill. Any comments, any questions? You can direct the questions to Mayor Mafu. Mafu, but the
Mafoko,
yeah.
Mafoko.
Eh,
that's right.
Eh, that's what I can Mafoko.
Eh, Chair, can I also suggest that if it's a legal issue, can I delegate it to our legal resource?
Beautiful. You're delegating upward. Sideways as well. No, that's fine. Questions, comments, yeah. Please feel free to ask the minister as well. That's why he's here too, okay?
Chairperson, our office is currently proposing that we will receive the presentation of the exact of the amendment of the bill, then we will ask questions for
the speaker. The what? I don't understand you,
Ms. Mafuk, is going to direct if we
any
have question, some
legal
questions. Yeah, yes, legal questions. So I was proposing that we get the amendment of the bill, maybe a presentation from...
Oh, you mean the technical staff?
Yes. But
I thought just deal with the politics first, and then we go into the technicalities later.
Okay.
Let's deal with the overall picture, broad picture, and then we can zero in into the detail later. Who else wants to speak? Go ahead.
Chair, honorable members, Comrade Minister, and our official from the department, thank you very much for the presentation. It's just one, Chair. This principle of retrospectivity that worries me a bit. Laws by nature need to be prospective, and when you are actually going to introduce a law with retrospective effect, there is a potential either that there are cases that are pending and there are rights, certain rights that have been accrued to individuals. I would like to know whether are there any prospects around this? Can it be briefed? Because you may come, I think the minister quite correctly says, cases that have been lost, but I know this is not to repair that damage. This one was just saying something else. But I would like at least to know whether really are there no cases potential or actually pending around this issue, or any disputes that have been declared around this issue. Secondly, in case you don't give me a chance later on, I think the minister quite correctly indicated that there is a need to overhaul this act together with any other municipal laws in the country in view of the challenges. But so far as it is relevant to the property right, I know the question of valuation in traditional communities in rural areas had some major challenges. But I see in the bill it has no bearing on there's a suggestion from the legal that it will not be referred to the House, for instance. Clearly means then that that issue is one of the issues that are still pending. Perhaps is not relevant to those 17 municipalities that say you want to cure this defect or rather mischief in this field. These are the two issues that I would like clarity on.
Yes. Chair, mine is small. Given that the municipalities have not been able to implement for the past, 2 years? 3 years? What measures are going to be taken now to ensure that the extension of 2 years, there will be mechanisms put in place to ensure compliance? Because it may be lack of capacity. That's why the municipalities have not been able to implement, especially if they don't have the qualified personnel to do the evaluation of properties in those areas. The second question is on the extent to which the act itself that is supposed to be implemented applies uniformly or takes into account the disparities between the different communities in terms of devaluations. A house in a township that is or in a newly or what you call affordable areas would be evaluated taking into account the uniformity of the rates across the board within that jurisdiction. Because there's been an issue about whether these rates and taxes are actually uniform in terms of their applicability across different spectrum of our areas. Thanks.
In Johannesburg and in the Bundu somewhere. You want to see where you okay? Ndatima Choba and then Wenga.
Thanks from the chair. Mine is that's too small, not too big. Just to ask from the president that how do you do your consultation? Because if you check here, there's an individual, Mr. Dito, and then how do you do it? Because you advertise on papers or you on TVs and all that. Recently, now the minister mentioned of organized communities now. That's one to check. How would you do your consultation? Yeah, that's all.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
My question is that the 17 municipalities, in particular Machabeng and Polokwane, what were the reasons of the non-implementation? Was it staffing? Was the department aware that they were not going to be coming on board in time? And what interventions were done in order to assist these municipalities so they wouldn't be sitting with these extensions? Thank you.
Let me just add, okay? The Transvaal, the TAU, the Transvaal Agricultural Union, what is their solution? Do they offer any proposals for how? I mean, I can understand and live with their comment that they've had enough time. But what is their suggestion? Is there any suggestion? You know, like Detroit, who recommends that residents must benefit from the negligence by 50% rebate. Again, he's at least making an alternative proposal and so on. The one that I don't hear coming through, whether you inquired about it, is the Transvaal Agricultural Union, whether they had any proposal to offer about it and so on. Honorable Botha, your second question about the application of the Maine Act across so on, they can answer it, but it's not on the table now for application. So I just thought that if we go into that one, you'll be opening up a gap that I don't like for now. We are coming back to do with those things here. And thirdly, finally, can we just list, do you have a list of the 17 municipalities? In which province are they in the majority? Are they linked in any way to Project Consolidate beneficiaries or not? In other words, and also maybe obviously along the same lines, this would they be part of the classifications, the weak municipalities, all of them?
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to try and answer all of them. I'm going to ask my colleagues here and there to come in.
Okay.
On the last one, we do have a list of the 17 municipalities. They are in all provinces except KZN and Western Cape. They across the board. Some are weak capacitated municipalities. Obviously, you have your Polokwane and your Machabeng, which are quite a surprise. But we do have those, and we can.
Which ones they are? Yeah.
Okay. Quick,
let me just run through them quickly.
Let me read them to you. In the northwest.
Just make sure that you speak closer to the microphone.
Okay.
Yeah.
In the northwest, there is Kheteng Refir municipality, which is one of them. In the northwest, again, it's Lekweng Demani, local municipality. Moving to Gauteng. Northern Cape, we have Magareng.
Okay.
Local municipality, Moshaweng local municipality, Pixikaseme DMA is also listed. However, I mean, that DMA is possibly going to be disestablished, however, it's...
Certainly, it shouldn't be existing in the first place.
Okay. In Limpopo, we have Makurutamaga municipality. Polokwane, Bloberg, Mulemule, Mopani, District Management Area. Western Cape, as I said, there aren't any.
No. How do you mention the District Management Area for?
Well, they do have the power to levy rates, but we're listing them just for so that we have complete numbers. Because of the disestablishment, the imminent one, we are not really taking them into account.
Okay.
There are some that are going ahead, by the way,
right.
With rating.
Okay.
Mpumalanga, also doesn't have any,
okay.
As far as the records show. By the way, as the minister mentioned, we engage with provinces. We request numbers from them, and we try to verify these numbers. However, sometimes you will find some discrepancies.
Okay.
So you may one day hear that there is a municipality in Mpumalanga.
Yeah.
KZN, there aren't any. In the Eastern Cape, Magana, local municipality, Matatiele, local municipality, Mbizana, Kaukeni,
Enwobo. That's the list. We can make it available physically at a later stage. Going into the comments and questions that we've been asked, the first one is a very good question on the retrospectivity.
Sorry, just one second. Ma'am? Sorry?
Houteng, we were not told of any. However, one did come up at the last minute. We're looking into it. What was the name of it? There is one that came up last week or so. I'll give you the name later on just to verify it. But initially, they had indicated that there aren't any municipalities that are not going to be able to implement.
Okay.
There were problems with Ekuruleni, but they went ahead.
Okay.
Minor problems. Retrospectivity. It's an excellent question. It's something that we've been grappling with. We were hoping that we would bring this legislation through much earlier, obviously before the 1st of July. However, we were not able to, and we're trying to move quite quickly with it. We have engaged the Chief State Law Advisor around the retrospective effect, whether it is possible to do it retrospectively, whether it's legal, and whether it imposes on rights. I'm going to ask him to touch on it, but from our perspective, we felt that if it is indeed possible, and they've advised us that it is, we will, with National Treasury, especially because this is a budget issue, and these municipalities have implemented budgets, some of them with projected rates, incomes, which are sometimes through valuation rules that are not legal, that we will find a way through an MFMA exemption and work with these municipalities to try and assist them mid-year at adjustment time. But it would require the Minister of Finance to provide us with an exemption of some sort in terms of the MFMA. It will be messy, but it's something that we're engaging the Treasury in doing. I'm going to ask Fani or the State Law Advisor to quickly touch on the retrospectivity issue.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, just to say that we're not aware of any pending action or any disputes have been declared at all regarding this matter. I think all members are aware of the fact that these old order valuation rolls expired on the 30th of June this year. So if we do not make this retrospective, all the rates levied in these municipalities with effect from the 1st of July until this Act comes into operation will all be invalid, illegal, unless we make it retrospective. So we have no choice, basically, if we want to protect these municipalities, the revenue base.
Remember, there will be a Bill of Rights in South Africa and their lawyers, and they would like to protect their clients. Yes, we must protect our municipalities, yes, I agree. But let's balance that equation as well, because the people are first.
Thank you very much. I think the issue here is that there is no rush that is infringed, because you are going to pay this money anyway. The issue became an administrative glitch. What can happen then, which in the course of implementation, is to look at the mechanism where it doesn't become too steep to the individual consumer. But if we want to promote a society that understands rights, it must also know that there are responsibilities. To be a good citizen is to be able to pay for things that are required by government. Mm-hmm. And I think all of us are sort of encouraging. That's what will happen the way we see it. And when you speak, Chairperson, about Babu Nongonyan, Advocate Nongonyan, you must say Balaga Tutu. It feels very good.
You're making my job very difficult.
Yeah. When you speak to Babu Botalaba, Utumawawa, Intomduana, Intom is Yamlan Lazit in Zag. Take me,
make me my. I want to become your wife.
Uh,
Thank you, Chair. Just from the psycho-advisor side, we have had a look at this bill and also at the retrospectivity issue that was raised. The act, this particular operation of Section 89 actually lapsed on the 2nd of July this year. So we thought that if this bill commenced on the 1st of July 2009 as it is proposed here, it will be acceptable, and as you will see in clause 2 also that we've put in a transitional arrangement to cover those actions, any actions that have been done in a period that might have been missed, so that no vacuum is created there. So if there's actions or taken or performed in that period, they will also be validated by this bill. So we've covered this whole retrospective period up to when this bill is now going to commence. So it is correct.
Thank you, Chair. The second question from Nkosi was about the overhauling of this act to deal with a number of issues, including communal areas and so on. The Minister did touch on it. We will be coming with comprehensive amendments, and we will look into
it. I was going to say it's like the Honourable Voter's second question.
Yeah.
It's in the main body of the act. I'll give them enough time to go to town.
Okay.
When that period comes.
When that comes, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. What measures are being taken to ensure compliance? The Minister has mentioned that we will support these municipalities. The first thing that we've done is to begin to engage the National Treasury on the budget issues. Those are the most important issues, to deal with exemptions and to try and address these municipalities' budgets appropriately. However, there are many other reasons why these municipalities did not comply. A lot of them involve procurement. A lot of these municipalities do not have in-house valuation capacity. Valuation is a scarce skill, and they had to procure it. However, a lot of these municipalities didn't do that in time, and it for a valuation role to be done comprehensively and properly in terms of this act for the very first time for most of them, the person has to have enough time to compile this valuation role. For example, Polokwane did not appoint a valuer until the end of last year, which is very late. There's no way where you appoint a valuer in November or December. And in terms of the act, various reasons when we spoke to the province. Initially, they had appointed a valuer. However, a dispute ensued, and I don't think that valuer could continue, and they had to appoint another valuer. So there were a lot of reasons within the procurement processes in that municipality. So the valuer that they ended up with did not have sufficient time to complete the role by the end of January, because the Act specifies that the valuation role has to be completed by the end of January. So procurement is a big issue. The other issue is planning, because most of the time, and we've given municipalities guidelines around this to work backwards from when you need to implement the Act, when the valuation role needs to be in place, and work backwards in terms of all the actions that you must take. Those were not done in time either, and that obviously there's a roll-on effect and everything else doesn't happen in time and so forth. So there are a number of issues that require intervention, and that is something that we are working on in terms of putting together some sort of support program for them. But the initial thing that we have to deal with is the budget issue, because that's the immediate urgency for these municipalities, and we will need the Treasury's commitment on that. They have committed at an official level. However, we will engage with them at a political level as well. The next question was around how consultation was done. What do we mean by consultation? We had to consult firstly through the cabinet process, the normal consultation through the cabinet process, where we need to consult with whoever we felt is, well, obviously that is the executive, whoever we felt had an interest. That we engage with departments at an official level, and obviously to the cabinet as well at a political level, and those issues are dealt with that way. In terms of how we consult with the other spheres of government, we consult with our provincial counterparts through, we have official engagements that we that we have every quarter, and we're in constant contact with them, and we discuss issues around the Act, and they're aware of them, and we discuss that. That's what we mean by consultation. In those engagements, we have SALGA represented at official level, and they're part of that, and we're consulting with them through that process. We consult with SALGA politically when we obviously are ready, for example, to engage on the bill once the bill goes out. Obviously, we then publish the bill, and that is how the public can then engage with the bill, which is why you get Mr. Kitoy coming in. We publish the bill as in terms of the law through the Government Gazette. It is published there, and persons can access it through that process. That's the nature of the consultation that we undertook for this bill. Reasons for non-implementation in the two municipalities. As I said, in Polokwane, it was the issue of the procurement process. I've already mentioned it. In Machabeng, it's a story that's been going on for a number of years, actually. They failed to implement twice before this, but obviously they had enough time to do that, and we were working with the province to advise them on how to go about implementing. They had insisted, I must say, on implementing a valuation role in terms of the old ordinance. They insisted on doing that. They did not want to do a full comprehensive valuation role in terms of the Act. So they continued to do a valuation role in terms of the old ordinance. We advised them repeatedly that this was not appropriate and that they had to compile a valuation role in terms of the Act. Hence, this continued over the years. We came to the last year. We kept advising them at an official level. The National Treasury also became involved at an official level, advising them that they may not implement this role. They may not include the rates in their budget, but they decided to go ahead. Hence, it's an issue of advising to the extent of, you know, how much can you advise? I mean, we advised until we were short. The only thing that could have been done was an intervention, but we didn't get to that stage. However, this has been going on for 3 years. Hence, they were not ready. They went ahead and implemented an invalid valuation rule. TLU, did they offer a solution? No, they did not offer a solution. They raised all the problems, and they listed all the problems. They did not offer a solution. I don't know if there's anything that I didn't answer comprehensively, if you want to touch on anything, colleagues.
Well, if just briefly, he has already talked to the issue as to why some of these municipalities have not implemented, in particular those two big secondary cities, Polokwane and Machabeng. Unfortunately, the procurement system is something which is exclusively a municipal competence, because it comes back to what you are saying about planning and all those sorts of things, because if you delay in issuing your tender, then the time frame moves, and those are some of the things which resulted for some of these two municipalities, in particular Polokwane. Then the next thing, you issue the tender, then you got the time span to adjudicate. So again, if you delay, and these are the things like we are saying that we engage with our provincial colleagues at an ITT that has been coming. So you find these time frames which were being shifted from time to time, and the provinces were engaging with some of these municipalities, in particular Polokwane, but you'll find that certain commitments come in a particular way, then again things move in another direction. But again, the issue of Polokwane has been there in the newspapers, actually, which circulate around that district municipality. So there are also some, according to those newspapers, which appears to be correct, exactly, issues which are sub judice in terms of involving some disputes around those tenders who became a preferred valuer to perform, which are things which, like I'm saying, they are sub judice, which we don't want to get into some of those things, lest we end up needing protection for ourselves if we get. No, as I'm saying that, we don't need to, we don't want to get into those particular issues. So, but that is that in the main. But if you look at the nature of municipalities which didn't implement, except these two, which if you look across the board, they stand out. So which may even tell you that there may be even institutional issues around these two particular municipalities, which might even go even beyond the implementation of this act. So it might even cover some other things for Machabeng and Polokwane, but the rest, to some extent, given that they are small and all those kinds of things, it might be reasonable. Then, but the colleague has said that when you ask the question about this Transvaal Agricultural Union, that they didn't make some recommendation, but one of the things which they said they themselves is that they believe that the act should have a sort of punitive action in terms of holding councillors to ensure that proper thing within municipalities happen in terms of implementation. So that is what they were, one thing which they advanced, that the act needs to hold councillors liable to ensure that there is proper implementation. But those are some of the things which probably when we talk about comprehensive review, to what extent Parliament itself wants to go in that particular route. But those are some of the things which they were saying. It's the same thing for Mr. Detroit. He raised a number of things, but again, most of the things they raised, it goes beyond even the implementation of this act. For example, to start mentioning the Auditor General, that year after year, he mentioned certain things, not only on this act, on a number of things which municipalities are not complying. So he was just complaining about some of those particular matters. But all in short, I think there is nothing else to add. Probably, although we said that the issues of valuation is something which we may need to deal with when we talk about comprehensive review of the Act, but probably it is safe to say even at this stage that the intention of the Act was that when you talk about valuation is something which is independent from the actions of the executive actions of municipalities. So valuations are supposed to be done by people who are competent, and hence the minister mentioned the issue of valuation appeal board, so that if people are not happy regarding those valuations, there are those processes in the Act about objections where people can object. So then you've got a body which is competent to look at the things. It can reverse the things if there are reasons beyond that. But also, it is important also to take note that regardless of whether municipalities have been able to perform valuations of the various property categories, including the residential areas in rural areas or communal areas, the ultimate decision as to whether there is a living or grade, it has got nothing to do with valuation. It's an independent action which the municipal council itself takes. So the mere fact that if you take, for example, Tlaukeni, if they were able to value those areas, it does not mean that there is an obligation. That is a decision which the council has to make, actually. So there is that separation between valuation and the rating decisions. You can value all sorts of things. And it's the same thing, for example, some of the municipalities have not rated what we call public service infrastructure, some of those things. So those are things which goes into the core of what is it which municipalities themselves they can do when they engage with their communities. But also, when we deal with a comprehensive assessment, there is we will also have to think about it, although the Act has in some ways made some leeway to some extent, that if you deal with these complex areas like communal areas, where it is difficult to do valuations, municipalities are not compelled to do it. So hence you'll find that in certain parts of the country, municipalities, because of these complexities, given our political history, and you talk about issues like the surveying of this land, a whole host of things which some of them affect the Office of Registrars of Deeds. At this stage, we are not there, so they haven't. But also, if you talk about the Eastern Cape, for example, when from the information which we got from the province when we checked with them, because most of these complaints from the traditional leaders, including the National House of Traditional Leaders, one way or another, the Eastern Cape was checked. But when we checked with the province, they were saying of all those municipalities in the Eastern Cape, it's only four actual, which did evaluations of communal areas. And even with those four, they decided not to rate residents in communal areas. So if you take the Eastern Cape, where most of the things have been coming from, the province is telling us that it's only four municipalities which have done valuations in communal areas. And even those four did not have decided not to rate those communal areas. So I just wanted to make that by way of giving some other information. But I agree that this will also have to come back to it when we deal with the comprehensive review of the Act. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Members, any other comments on the legislation?
All right, no comment. Minister?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me say that the issue of consultation, Bob Machoba, there's a basic requirement. The basic requirement is that you must be able to publish something in a government gazette. Of course, you'll ask a question, would a person of a Ngobo, how are you going to know that this thing is coming? It's a broader question that applies even to the land claims. There are people who still come now and say, no, you know, we never knew this thing, that the land claims are going to happen at that time because we never accessed information. But on this one, we felt that we want to change the approach, that before we come with any law, we must extensively engage South Africans. I mean, it has come with costs, but you mustn't come so that even yourself, when it comes to yourself here, you want to go and check. You must find that, no, we've already covered the ground. It's important in this. That's what we want to do going forward. And all the laws that we develop must ensure that people, South Africans, they know, they are aware, they're able to make inputs. Particularly people from rural areas. Because if you look at our laws in the main, they are more influenced by urban people. Not only urban people, but also the NGOs that are resources, they are funded, and so on. Now, you find that that urban bias is still there in a way. Now, it's something that we want to turn around going forward on these matters. But this one, we felt that it was sufficient because it was about getting the rates and so on. It doesn't require that extensive consultation. The other thing that is important, Chair, that I think we must know, the capacity of provinces is extremely weak, almost non-existent for them to help and monitor and support municipalities. And one of the weaknesses which I think Parliament was supposed to have raised at hindsight, in terms of Section 154 of the Constitution and 139, 154 requires that there must be laws that are defining the support to municipalities. And that law, that section was never implemented in terms of come with the law. In terms of Section 139, it says that the intervention, when you use a carrot, now you find that you could come with a stick on 139, you must be able to come with a national legislation that governs the implementation. Parliament has never raised that. It is not there. It's something that we are looking at to say there must be legal instruments that we use. But not only that, there must be monitoring the evaluation mechanism. And now, the other thing is that when you go to provinces, you know, some of them, they are at sea. Or rather, they are in a dark where there's no moon, there are no stars. You can imagine the darkness that is there. You look at that. Now, one of the things that we want to do, we want to be advising them on having a footprint in regions. Let's take Eastern Cape. Eastern Cape is how many regions? Seven. It means your state department must be in those regions. So, a director or chief director, whatever level is, when a person wakes up in the morning every day, your task is about the functionality of the municipalities in your own area of jurisdiction. That's what you can do. Check.
give support, you know what is happening and so on. At this time, people rely on reports. And you find that these reports, more often, they are inaccurate. Now, that's what we want to do, so that we are able to have early warning systems in relation to what has to happen. But in addition to that, Chair, we are developing an IT solution, which we think that once developed, we'll know what will happen even in the world. Even there's going to be a protest, whatever that is there, we know. Sitting here, at a click of a button, you can know what is happening. That's what we want to revolutionize the whole issue of governance in South Africa, in ensuring that we're able to do things. What, it's not a good thing when you sit here, you ask, why didn't you see the problem? Why didn't you see it for 4 years? Why didn't you see the problem? And we'll come with this and that. Now, it means then the intervention must allow also national government, in the event a province is not helping, to move in. At this point in time, there is no legal instrument. Let's assume I see corruption. I ask the province to investigate. There's, we have passed last year Local Government Laws Amendment Act. Local Government Laws Amendment Act, yeah. It says if you see a corruption, national minister, NCOP, whoever, you ask a province to investigate. But what happens if they don't investigate? Say they must report to you within 90 days. If they don't investigate, what happens? Your hands are tied. You can't do anything. You can rely on appealing. Now, there must be an instrument that if they don't do their work, you forfeit your responsibility. Somebody must take the responsibility away from you. To me, I think we need sharper laws that are piercing through like a spear, very sharp in the front. To me, I think that's what we require. Now, of course, Chair, we appreciate the questions that you are raising. We hope that you are going to work with yourself in addressing these things. And I hope that even the opposition must appreciate that it's not going to be job as usual. There must be change whilst it's continued. In a sense that you must know that central government is going to move because people use autonomy as an instrument of saying nothing can be done. And when you come here to parliament, you ask us, what did you do? You can't say, no, the law is tying my hands. It's something I think that we must look at going forward. Because people believed earlier, including the chair on my left, that municipalities must be autonomous, there must not be interference, they must do as they wish, without looking at the development of South Africa as a country. And the rate state that we are in, including the skills and capabilities. Now, I'm saying then, to me, I think we require more to ensure that these structures are functioning. Because at the end of the day, whether you're in Musina or in Karoo, you want to get the same service. You can't use an excuse to say, no, my municipality has no capacity. For 15 years, you can't continue to do that. That's why I'm saying, I think that a center with yourself together, at hindsight, after 15 years of review, we can look at changing certain things that idealistically we thought that they would work. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Comrade Minister. I'm tempted to say to you, I co-chaired the local government negotiating forum that gave CODESA the provisions in the Constitution. Now, one of the persons who was giving us orders, they ran away now. He's sitting in the back benches here. For the Miller Border. You know, so if there's anything bad about that, you point the finger at him. And anything good is what we did. Ladies and gentlemen, the legislation hasn't been presented to us with the background that the minister provided us, but also the appreciating the input that he gave us. I think what we should do, the Honorable Ntlangeto was suggesting that we go through the bill. It's a one-pager, so it's only two things. No, it's important, but I'm advised that because it has not been tagged, And can you advise us, people who tag these things, the tagging office? Who sits in the tagging office? Because they have to tag it, and then once tag it tagged, and finally it will appear in the bowels of the system here. That it can be processed appropriately and so on. Once they tag, they ungag it. Yes, you are right. Then we can go to town. Yes. So what I'm suggesting we do is that we will have a very brief this item as an agenda next week. But let me do this. Let me open this for questions. Members, having discussed, having listened to the presentation, no, let me start differently. Having had a discussion about the potential problems that might arise from not intervening legally in this way to protect those municipalities that we were aware were not going to do it, and having received this kind of response, that the department feels correctly, I would suggest, that this legal remedy of extending it for 2 years is appropriate. But this is not, it's just an extension, and the kind of feedback they have received, we've heard about it. Do we think we would get any different view if we invited any additional public input on the bill? Or do you think it is okay for us to proceed, process it, and then say that the more in-depth discussions and public hearings on it will be when we deal with the comprehensive one? What's your view? This is an open question. I haven't made a decision, so the decision will only arise if you gave your views, and then I'll summarize them as a decision. Please give me your views. Any views on that, Baba?
The procedure for Parliament has been that if there's any bill, we must therefore publicize it for public comment.
Mm-hmm.
That is why I think we must just hear from the legal gurus around here.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm inclined to say that because of the urgency,
yeah,
whether we may dispense with that,
mm-hmm,
legally speaking.
Yeah.
But politically, I have no problem.
Yeah.
Saying.
Yeah.
It's just that the legalese that yeah, I would like to get their views before.
I'm also saying this very mindful that the recent court decisions, and by the way, we must have a discussion of those court decisions we must have them discussed here in this committee on public participation and so on. While the department may consult and do the consultation, Parliament itself has a responsibility to consult and hear a view. But the decision to consult and or otherwise is also the committee's. So we must take a view on this issue. That given the considerations we have made so far, and with the understanding that we expect further, more comprehensive amendments to come on the legislation, especially the Property Rights Act, that we not proceed with any public hearings now, but have them later. That's a view that I would take if you agree with us on that. In other words, we do expect to have public hearings, but not just for this extension of time for its application. What I suggest we do, and this also is a suggestion, please, is these two municipalities, I suggest that we go and visit them for two reasons. One, precisely as part of examining, getting to the roots of the non-implementation of this, it appears this is the tip of an iceberg that we would like to expose. In other words, to see more what's happening in these municipalities as an example of what's happening in those areas. But use the visit to those two municipalities to interact with key stakeholders. For example, if we are in the Free State, then we meet with the MEC for local government, for cooperative governance and traditional affairs. We meet with SALGA, and we meet with the municipality principal. That's the principal thing, with the leadership of the municipality, the council and councillors, and then the leadership. We use those visits to do that as a way of understanding what are the reasons for non-implementation. What does it tell us about the municipality as well? And from the reports that we are getting, if a municipality persistently refuses advice, is impervious to good advice, which is what he was almost saying on behalf of the department, then we must go and understand what's going on in that municipality. That's what I'm saying. Members, do you agree with that proposal that we visit those two municipalities? Members, why are you talking? Yeah. Matoba, I want all of you to say yay or nay. Please, you have a democratic right to refuse my suggestions. If you agree, let's work that into the program and implement it and do it. But what it tells us is that implementation of legislation and its evaluation, the sort of response we must give must be based on our understanding of what is happening in these municipalities and the appropriate issues that emerge there that informs us, that lies at the heart of the problems of non-implementation. So we will use this as a basis to go and examine this issue. Then we will finalize, take a final decision on the bid next week. And so when we meet next week, it will be to receive a report on the CAGI. And having this understood what tagging is all about and so on, we go into the line-by-line dealing with the matter and approve it and then go on to the next agenda of the next meeting. Is that agreed, members? Okay. This is there, if there is no other matter on the table, members, what we were trying to do last, there are two things that I think you should be aware of. We didn't formally put it in a meeting like this, that we are working with the Cape Town Partnership, Andrew Borrell, with the Portfolio Committee on Human Settlement, Honorable Gambuza and her team there, to give us a walking tour of Cape Town. The main purpose is to look at the Cape Town Partnership. It's classically working together, you do more. In the last 10 years, I think the Cape Town Partnership has been doing very, very interesting stuff that relates to crime in the city. Crime is one of our priorities in the country. So we look at what the partnership has been doing, how they have been navigating the different partners, both in the townships, in town, the property associations, non-governmental organizations, street kids, and so on, involving the city in a way, and so on. So the management of different stakeholders to produce the kind of results that the Cape Town Partnership is responding was the motivation behind that. Part of that, Comrade Minister, is my bias that I worked before as chairperson of Arts and Culture. So the principal reason I got to know about the walking tour was how really we walk around the city here without knowing the richness of the places we pass by and their value to our society as a whole. It's a very instructive thing, but also what's emerging by way of agreements in the partnerships that are changing the face of the city. So we want to do that because I think the stakeholder conference that you held, Comrade Minister, is an example of the sort of things that we are seeing in practice here, that has been here for some time. And so I thought we should do it together with the committee on that. So that's the one thing that is still to be finalized, the date and so on. They cancelled it last week because of the weather. Of course, that's a very clumsy excuse. And these are Cape Town people. I don't understand. The weather here is bad every day. Even if it's nice, it changes on sunset and so on. So there's another one that is also in the making about we talked about it, about the audit, clean audit. There's negotiations going on with other committees so that we do it together, so that we receive a presentation politically from the minister in this area of clean audits, for example, the Auditor General staff, for example, that committee will have to work with them, and SCOPA, I think, yes, and so on, so that we are able to together listen to the minister here, the Minister of Finance, and so on, and the Auditor General can get them to talk to us about those issues of the state of health of municipalities in the management of their finances and so on. So that work is underway as well. It is coming. We're going to factor it into our program as well. So I just got to let you know those things. Is there any issues that you think we aren't doing? You've seen the program, so we would like to stay with that program as much as possible, but we did agree that it will change as issues emerge that we think we must factor into it. So those are the comments here. Comment, Minister?
Thank you very much. I'm excited about what you are raising, Chair, of this coming to Cape Town walkabout with the Committee on Housing, on Human Settlements. I think you must also go to N2 Gateway and look at that. Because, you know, from your side, you're talking about cooperative governance. That concept with breaking new ground was about putting under one roof the three spheres of government to focus on a project. What happened to it? What lessons can be learned? What are the weaknesses and so on? You hear more of SCOPA going there and so on. The specific committees are not there. To me, I think it is interesting that we look at that that issue, because I think it has a lot of lessons to be learned on this thing of that you are raising. The other thing, I'm not sure if the invitation came to yourself, but there's a conference, of SADC or South Africa on the Public Accounts Committees. From the 27th,
yes,
until I think 30th, something like that,
yeah.
Which will be speaking there. But one of the most important things to me is that, as people who are dealing with the cooperation of government, I think the committee is supposed to be a part of that process, because it's quite an important thing. It relates to what you are raising, Chair, the presentation on the Operation Clean Road 2014. That even engaging at that level, because we want to see a situation where the municipal public accounts committees are established to ensure that there's some oversight around them. Now, I'm saying thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Minister. In fact, yes, we have received that invitation, members. Yes, yes. So we hope to be there at the conference as well. So, and we have a responsibility to, because we, you see, our ability to go to as many of the municipalities as possible, this is depending on our program. We must recognize that there are restrictions placed on us by Parliament and the budget that we have, which we must, the struggle goes on when it comes to negotiations for budget, as to how much and how often we will be able to go to as many places as possible for oversight purposes. So what we are saying is that we will factor those in. And if you have any proposals and suggestions, please do raise them with us so that we factor them in here. Thank you very much. We will come back next Tuesday to finalize this bill with the tagging in place. And then we'll move on to the next stage. We will also receive a report about preparations for this oversight visit. Now, members, we must know that there's a formula that is used for how many of us can go on any domestic trip. Somehow, we can't go the entirety of the team. Usually, there's a proportion of us that's taken and so on. So, Shireen, who's our boss, will let us know who of us she allows to go. So let's get those feedback next week and so on. Thank you very much. You have an early break. Thank you very much, Commissioner.